Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, the 30th of July. Coming up in today's episode, a mum from Sevenoaks has been telling the podcast how she wasn't able to enjoy being pregnant with twins. Plus, have you noticed the cost of buying a new build home in Kent has almost doubled? We'll have reaction to that. But first today, a young woman has told us she's scared to walk in Maidstone Town Centre alone after being the victim of a violent robbery. Mercy Doe was attacked as she was walking near the Archbishop's Palace in August last year. She was thrown to the ground and her bag was stolen. Well, I've been speaking to Mercy, who's bravely told us about what happened. And I started by asking what she can remember from that evening.
I had been walking home and there's a small hill next to the All Saints Church. I'd started going down that and I'd seen a shadow creeping up like behind me, and it was getting faster and faster. So I'd tried to turn around and he was instantly up in my face, but it was dark, so I still couldn't really see it. The first time he shoved me, I had stumbled and fell over, but I'd gone up relatively quickly. And then that's when he had grabbed hold of me. He had me by the shoulders and he was trying to get my bag off because it was a cross body bag. But it wasn't going too well for him because I didn't want to hand it over. So he had grabbed the strap of the bag as well, and he had used that as almost like a harness and a sling to be able to throw me to the floor. And I was being like dragged from side to side of that road, him just trying to get the bag off. And I didn't want him to have it, but eventually something happened with my head. And I remember not being able to really focus, and everything kind of went a bit slow, like really dark. I couldn't move that well. And that's when he had gotten it off of me. And I saw him run down the hill towards Millennium Bridge. And I just sat there and cried because I couldn't do anything. And I'd been screaming the whole time, but no one showed up while it was happening.
What injuries did you suffer? You mentioned your head because you were really badly injured, weren't you?
Yeah, I had a few centimetre diameter kind of like a gash or a hole in the back of my head. They were telling me I was lucky because I didn't do anything to the actual bone. But there was the hole, and it had made all the backside of my head, like to behind my ear, it made it go blacky purple. I couldn't balance properly for a while or hear very well at that ear. Both of my elbows were really scuffed up. And then during the healing, they had also turned black. My hand must have hit the floor, because there was a big gash in the ball bit of my wrist. I had bruising and scrapes all up and down my legs. It felt like my knees were on fire for days because of like how they had been scraped up, like a really, really bad carpet burn.
How has this whole experience left you feeling? It's clearly had a huge impact on you, not just physically as well.
I don't like walking around at night now. It's something that I used to really enjoy. I mean, I have autism, and I found the night more, I used to find it more safe because there's not many people around. I can walk around freely. Well, I thought I could, and now I don't. I get really scared if I'm outside and it gets dark, and I'm like, if I'm stuck and I haven't walked home in time. I get really jumpy if I see a shadow on the ground. So even during the day, if I'm walking through town and I see a shadow on the ground to my left-hand side specifically, and it looks a bit too close, it feels like my heart stops, because that was the first thing that I saw when the guy had come up to me, was his shadow, and that's why I had tried to turn around.
The police talk a lot about what they're trying to do to improve safety for women and girls. Do you think anything specifically needs to be done within Maidstone Town Centre?
I think that there definitely should be more CCTV, and I know it doesn't always prevent an attack, but it makes it easier to catch the said person afterwards. And there's a bit of psychology that if people know that they're being watched, they're less likely to commit a crime. And there's not really a lot of visible signs saying that, hey, we're monitoring you, we're watching you.
Mercy's attacker ran off down the slope towards the Millennium Bridge and over the River Medway. Jordan MacDonald from Regency Place in Maidstone has now been found guilty of robbery but hasn't been sentenced yet.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and six people have been treated by paramedics following a fire at a house in Gravesend. Crews in four engines were called to the blaze on Park Avenue in Northfleet yesterday morning. The air ambulance also landed nearby to provide assistance. Investigations are ongoing. Elsewhere, a huge fire has broken out at a derelict school in Chatham that's previously been targeted in suspected arson attacks. Thick smoke could be seen coming from the former St John Fisher building in Ordnance Street yesterday evening. 10 fire engines were sent to tackle the blaze. No one was hurt and the cause is still unknown. People in a village near Ashford have been left without water after a burst main flooded the high street. Pictures at Kent Online show a serious leak in Charing yesterday. Supplies had to be turned off as water flowed all the way onto the A20. South East Water say they're fixing the issue as quickly as possible. Now, a coroner's criticised the training and lack of basic medical kit provided by a private ambulance firm after a teenager died at Margate's Dreamland. Dan's got more for the podcast.
17-year-old Emily Stokes collapsed after taking drugs at a festival in June last year. An inquest heard there were serious delays in realising how unwell she was and getting her to hospital. Now, a report to prevent future deaths has been issued and details how private crews failed to warn medics at the QEQM hospital that Emily was on her way. Kent Central Ambulance Service say what happened will be used for internal learning.
Kent Online reports.
A man's been charged after three people, including a police officer, were injured in Whitstable. Armed police and paramedics were called to reports of an assault at a property in Tradewinds on Sunday. A woman, man and female officer were taken to hospital. A 32-year-old from Dartford is due in court next month. A teenager who left a 17-year-old with a fractured eye socket in an attack in Sheerness has walked from court. Mason Godden attacked the boy with two others in March. It was filmed on a phone and then posted on socials. The 19-year-old from the High Street in Newington admitted GBH and was given a suspended term. He's also got to do unpaid work. A serial stalker from Maidstone has narrowly avoided jail after harassing a former girlfriend 16 years after they broke up. Last year, he was issued with a five-year stalking protection order after hounding two other women, but started contacting his latest victim earlier this year. The 52-year-old has been issued with a two-year restraining order this time around, banning him from contacting the woman or going near her home. Now, a mum from Sevenoaks has been telling the podcast how she wasn't able to enjoy being pregnant with twins after they developed a potentially life-threatening condition. Bo Young's babies had something called twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome, which happens when the babies share a placenta. It's actually the same condition that meant former Little Mix singer Jessie had to spend weeks in hospital while she was expecting. The Twins Trust is now calling for better training among healthcare professionals so they can understand the risk. Risks. Beau has been speaking to Kate.
We found out we were having twins at the 12-week scan. They were naturally conceived, And we were very quickly, after we got over the shock, which I don't think we have ever got over, of having twins, we were told that there was a problem with one of the measurements for one of the twins. And we were told quite quickly that they looked as though they were called MCDA twins. So they are identical twins that share one placenta. And so the following day, we were sent to a twin specialist who gave us some options of what these problems could be. So we were looking at heart defects, chromosomal issues like Downs, or possibly twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome, which is where, as they share a placenta, they're technically sharing blood vessels, and one twin would be getting more blood than the other twin. So it turned out to be twin-to-twin transfusion. And so we were monitored every 2 weeks initially to see how the growth went. And we were told if the growth started to get a lot worse for the smaller twin, then we would have to go to King's College for placental laser ablation. So, where they technically cut through or laser the veins in between the placenta, and then ultimately they kind of had their own placenta each. We got to 23 weeks and the growth was looking like Teddy was getting a lot smaller. And the risks of that would be where he's not getting enough blood, he would technically be starved, and he would unfortunately pass away. And then because of that, Max, the bigger twin, would receive too much blood, which would then cause cardiac arrest. So we were at high risk of losing both twins. We were rushed up to King's, saw the main professor there who pioneered the treatments. And after he looked at us, he told us that actually he will get us to 32 weeks. We were okay. So after that date, so that was around Christmas time, we were then scanned weekly. And it was looking as though the twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome, it was there, but it wasn't as bad. There was a 45% difference, which is huge. Usually they say, I think it's anywhere above 25% difference is bad. So it was very bad. So they diagnosed Teddy with something called selective growth restriction syndrome. Where he's just not growing and he's not growing on the charts. Then it was twice weekly scans and the hospital was 40 minutes away. So it was a lot. And then we got to 30 weeks and the blood flow to Teddy was nearly at zero. So we had to have an emergency C-section. So the whole pregnancy was very traumatic, nothing like my other two pregnancies. I don't think we enjoyed it at all. Like, there was no part of enjoyment. I was very emotional throughout. I had a lot of support though from, I quickly found the Twins Trust. We were referred to them by the midwives, joined the Facebook groups. So I was always talking to people, always in the community. And had them Valentine's Day 2023.
What an incredible story. I can't imagine how terrifying that must have been.
Yeah, really, really scary the whole way through.
And I suppose it's handy as well, as you said, you had the Twins Trust there and then you reached out to, online community of other people. You had that support of parents that have maybe been through not exactly the same thing as you, but something similar before. You could rely on their advice and maybe they put your mind at rest a little bit.
Yes, definitely. They were so lovely. Any time of the day. I mean, with the twins, with anyone with twins, a lot of the time you are up multiple times through the night rather than having one single baby. So they were, I mean, I would message at 3 o'clock and there might be someone on feeding their baby and they would just talk to me for a bit. But yeah, we were part of the TN twin group in our local area. We even got a lovely kind of gift bag from them. It was just so supportive, and I never had that, or I never needed to have that when I had my girls. It was kind of just run of the mill, you're pregnant, you go for your scans, have the baby. But this one, you did feel like you needed that kind of village behind you. Definitely.
Kent Online reports.
Our reports revealed a culture of fear and medicine misuse at a supported living service based in Faversham, PCAS Kent Limited, which provides care for people unable to live independently, has been placed in special measures following an inspection in March and April. The Care Quality Commission is monitoring the site to make sure improvements are made. Around 100 animals have been removed from a rescue site in Sheerness following a raid by police and the RSPCA. They visited Kent Wildlife Rescue in Victoria Street and took away birds, hedgehogs and foxes. It's not been confirmed why the raid happened. The woman in charge of the county council has again called for Kent to get a share of extra cash that's going to be made at the Dartford crossing. The government's set to rake in as much as £46 million when charges increase to £3.50 from September the 1st. Lyndon Kemp-Karens described the profits as astonishing and shocking. The Department for Transport says the increase is needed to secure the operation of the crossing. Now, it's been revealed the cost of buying a new built home in Kent has almost doubled over the past 20 years, while sales, in fact, have plummeted. Our business editor, Chris Britcher, has been analysing data and joins me on the podcast today. Chris, thanks ever so much for being on today's episode. First of all, can you give us a breakdown of the figures?
Hi there. So this may come as a surprise to many, as it seems new houses are being built everywhere in Kent at the moment. But the reality is that sales have actually fallen to their lowest for 20 years. So last year, according to figures from Kent County Council and the Land Registry, just 1,138 new homes were actually sold. Compare that to 20 years ago when it was three times that level. And this is a national trend. So despite all this house building we see, the sales are struggling, which seems to defy our perceptions. Then we have the issue of the average price of a new build, which for Kent is now in excess of an eye-watering £426,000. Yes, you heard that right. That is, of course, just a county-wide average. And to give some context, Tunbridge Wells, where property prices are traditionally among the highest in the county, the average is more than £513,000. But in Thanet, traditionally the district with some of the lowest prices, it's still nearly £370,500. And those seeking to buy their new home won't need reminding that that Thanet home means finding a 10% deposit, which is going to be more than £37,000. So you can see the problem.
And why do you think we're seeing this trend?
Well, the issue seems to be an imbalance in the market. It's all very well having new expensive homes being built, but it doesn't help first-time buyers. We are also constantly being told there is a housing crisis in the county, and that is certainly true. There are, for example, thousands of children across Kent and Medway being housed in temporary accommodation at the moment along with their families, but those entry-level homes are not being built in the numbers necessary. And social housing, which eases that situation at the very foot of the ladder, are currently sparse. That's because housing associations are having to retrofit existing properties to come up to modern standards. Think, for example, tackling issues like cladding and energy efficiency requirements. So their money is being spent there rather than building new homes.
So is this an indicator of wider issues in the housing market in general then?
Basically, you need a balance of properties at all levels for the property market to work at its best. But without the entry-level homes being built in the numbers needed, it has a knock-on impact all the way up the chain. Plus, currently, there's no widely adopted government scheme like Help to Buy, which ended a few years ago, to help people get on the ladder.
And how does this all fit in with the Labour government's plans to increase house building?
Labour has banged the drum for more house building ever since entering office. But it's alert to the issues, and Chancellor Rachel Reeves recently announced a £39 billion package of support over the next 10 years to build more affordable housing. That will be very welcome. But it's not going to happen overnight, all of which means the struggle for those trying to afford their first homes or get out of temporary accommodation will continue for the near future, I'm afraid.
Chris, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Part of a former sports centre near Rochester could be turned into an 11-bed house of multiple occupation. Plans for a disused building on Upner Road, where Arethusa Venture Centre used to be, would see space for up to 13 people. It's being considered by Medway Council's planning department. They've received so far 6 letters of objection from nearby residents. A decision, meantime, to turn down plans for a solar farm near Ashford, which could generate enough power for almost a third of the borough's homes, has been upheld. Ashford Borough Council threw out EDF Renewables' proposals for a site close to Sellinge and Aldington last year, which the energy firm appealed. The council argued it would cause harm to the landscape. Kent Village could be about to lose its only GP surgery. Bosses have announced plans to close St George's Medical Centre in Eastchurch on the Isle of Sheppey. It means residents will have to travel an extra 3 miles to see a doctor. The healthcare company that runs the site says it will allow them to focus on improving their services in Sheerness and Laysdown. Meantime, residents in a village near Ashford say it's only a matter of time before someone is seriously hurt because of inconsiderate parking. Villagers in Ham Street say drivers consistently ignore double yellow lines, which they say has led to damaged homes and blocked routes. But the parish council have suggested a new loading bay for shoppers, along with bollards and pedestrian crossing. Our reporter Sam Lennon has been chatting to councillor Mike Wadey.
Basically, it's a nightmare, the parking. I'm sure it's not just this village. I'm pretty well convinced it's all villages. But the infrastructure of all the houses going up, nothing is being done about it. Not only is this car park available, there is a car park which is at the back of the VG shop. Oh, sorry, I should say Morrison's. Not VG, Morrison's, which I probably would imagine is probably half the size of this car park.
So there's space, but people just aren't using it?
Absolutely, they're not using it, no. They'd rather stop on double yellow lines and cause havoc. So there has been accidents that have happened, I'm sure you're aware of them. And there's going to be a lot more that are going to happen.
A spokesperson for Kent County Council says many of those ideas aren't possible due to limited road space. Kent Town has been named today as one of the best places to retire to in the UK. Sevenoaks is 12th on a new list based on things like health, housing and access to nature. Chesham and Amersham in Buckinghamshire came out on top. And a chip shop in Thanet has gone viral in TikTok for its super-sized fish. Archie's in Minster has been serving up a 2.2 kilo battered cod fillet, which cost £65. Videos of people eating the meals have racked up nearly 12 million views. The owners say it's bringing in more customers who want to try it.
Kent Online Sports.
Cricket and Kent have been deducted 8 points following poor conduct in the county championship. The most recent of four penalties they received came in last week's defeat to Glamorgan when Daniel Bell Drummond showed dissent to the umpire. It means Kent are now 26 points adrift at the bottom of the Division 2 table. The club say they won't be appealing. On to football, and three of Gillingham's games have had their kick-off times moved for TV coverage. It affects the trip to MK Dons in October and home games against Crawley Town and Barnet the following month. The Gills kick off their League Two campaign with a trip to Accrington Stanley this Saturday. And in tennis, Kent's Emma Raducanu's back in action today. She's in the second round of the Canadian Open after beating Elena Gabriela Rousset 6-2, 6-4. The Orpington player takes on 32 seed Peyton Stearns in Montreal. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, or one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.